They said this will maybe give me the capacity to roam around a little bit, so I might do that. I noticed that everyone is kind of scooted back towards the shade for some reason. That doesn't sound like anything that came from experience. It is so good to be with you. I am thrilled, and my heart is full. After 7 months in this role as part of the pastoral team, I've only preached in person one time, and it rained, and we had to go inside. And most of you, even the ones who were here, I couldn't see your faces, and you look great. It is so good to see you, and to see your smiling faces, and to be in this shared space together. What a beautiful morning to worship God together. Let's pray, and then I have a good story to tell you. God, thank you that you love us, and that we are yours. You are our good shepherd, and we are the sheep of your pasture. God, for all the things that you have done, we give you thanks. The times that you have welcomed us back into your arms and cared for us and led us to streams of still water, thank you. Thank you that you are here in the present with us, that you are walking beside us, empowering us, even now, even this morning, as your congregation, as your church, and that there is no future where you are not there with us. Bless this time of worship. In your name we pray, amen. So I have a great story to tell you. I'm setting my timer so I remember how long I've been preaching, because sometimes when you get excited, time just flies. So the other day, 2 days ago, we were on our porch, and I was inside the house. The kids are on the porch with Teresa. If you didn't know, we now have 4 children: Eliana, Isaiah, Maria, and Malachi. Malachi is like this big, and he is beautiful. And one of the kids, 2 of the kids, ran into the house, and they said, "Papa, Papa, it happened again." And I said, "What?" And they said, "There's a squirrel inside the roof, looking down through the hole." See, there's tongue and groove boards that run across the front of our front porch. And there's one board where there used to be a porch swing that is cracked. And apparently, I didn't see it, so I'm taking their word for it. I need to trust and believe. But apparently, in the past, a squirrel had climbed in there and poked its little hand out through the porch. Now, this is a horrifying thought for some of you. And some of you are like, "Oh my goodness, Seth, you have to take care of that." I know, it's still there. The board's still broken. And so they said, "It happened again. You have to come out and get a broom." And so I grabbed a broom and I ran outside and I looked up, and sure enough, what I saw, this one beady little eye sticking — anyone have squirrel problems? One beady little eye peeking its head down outside the slat in this broken tongue and board groove. And I walked — at first I was maybe from here to the camera away from me. Hi, good morning, everyone who's online. It's great to see you. Welcome, we love you. So for first, I was about this far away from you, from what I saw with the squirrel. And then I got closer. I got maybe 5 or 10 feet away, and I just looked at it, and it was just staring me down. And I, defiant almost. And then I got even a little bit closer, and I realized it was the hole in the beam, not the eye of the squirrel that was looking down. There was no squirrel. And even as I'm standing underneath it, the kids are saying, "It's a squirrel, get the broom." And up until the moment where I was standing directly underneath it and I could see the little splinters of wood from where the screw had been pulled out, I thought it was a squirrel. I was sure of it. The story that I was told shaped how I interpreted what I saw. The story that they told me shaped what I saw. And it wasn't even when I saw it with my own 2 eyes, when it wasn't based on the story that I was told, when I saw it with my own 2 eyes, I still thought it was what I had been told. I had to examine it much more closely. Now, the reality is that the reality wasn't perfect, right? There's still a broken board in my front porch that needs to be fixed. And while there wasn't a squirrel, there is a problem and it needs to be attended to. And I'm sure that's what I'll be doing on Monday. Okay? But I needed to take a closer look to get a true picture of the situation. And until I did that, I wasn't going to know the whole story. God empowers the church. That's what we have said over and over again and been holding since early May. The last four, I got to go back and listen to each of the sermons that was preached in this sermon series this last week. God has historically moved and saved. God is and God will continue to move and save. After all, when Sarah told me that the title of the series was God Empowers the Church, it wasn't that God empowered the church. This wasn't a historical survey of what God has done in the past. Although I know some of us really love history, even as we move into a new season of life. Right, Elwood? Elwood, I loved hearing you preach about the history. I studied history in my undergrad. I don't think I love history as much as you, Elwood, but I loved hearing you preach about the history. I loved hearing Irvin talk about the broad movement of God in the church. I loved hearing Sarah talk about how God empowered those earliest followers of Jesus, Peter and John, to heal in a way that only God could heal, to save in a way that only God could save, post-resurrected Jesus, post-ascended, post-Pentecost. I loved hearing Dave preach about on this subject as well. God empowering the church. I remember whenever I was at EMU, I had a teacher, a professor, who the test that he would give us was a box of words at the top of a page. And then he would say, tell me what, and tell me so what. Tell me the what. So if it was a person, if it was a date, if it was a movement, if it was something like that, he would say, tell me what it is, and then tell me why it's important. Tell me why it's important. This historical figure, how do they connect to what's come before them and what happens right after them in the 1850s? Tell me about how this connects to these broader streams of history that we've already been learning about. The what and the so what was something that was really helpful for me. And I loved those tests. I love them because I care about the bigger story. The bigger story makes a big difference. So all of the what's of God empowering the church, you know, the what of what Sarah talked about in those earliest Genesis story, those Acts stories of God empowering those early disciples, the what stories of how God has been with us historically in this congregation and in Virginia Mennonite Conference at Zion Mennonite Church, the what's of God in the global church movement, the what's of some of the complex realities that Dave named last week, the two different sides of the coin for some of the things that are both strengths and things that have been difficult. The so what's are the things that we need to spend time thinking about. The what conversations are things that some of us already know in our heads. And so the more that we can take time as the church connecting the what's to the so what's, the better we will be able to see clearly what is really going on in our church, in our world, and in our own lives. Knowing about something isn't enough. I don't think so. It's when we open ourselves up to consider how the what can shape us in how we understand the past, that'll be here, how we live in the present, and how we look forward to the future. It's all three together. Calls to live differently in the present don't set aside what's happened in the past. And living in the present should not be at the expense of what we understand is yet to come as followers of Jesus. For God's people seeking to understand God's story, the orienting moment that most shapes our reality is not God creating everything. It's God saving. That's the story of what God does in Exodus. That's the story of Jesus on the cross. The story for Jewish folks, the Orient, the most important moment in their history. You know, if I did my life, I could talk about some of the key moments in my life. Being born, being a parent, marrying Teresa, that was a good decision. benefited from that one. But I could talk about some of those things. For the people of God, for Jewish folks, it's God's saving action as God saved them up out of slavery and gave them covenant, law, and Torah. For us as Christians, it's Jesus's the incarnation. It's Jesus coming near to earth, living, teaching, showing us a different way, dying on the cross, being raised to life again. Amen? Amen. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Everyone take a deep breath. Oh, man. I'm so excited. I just start talking fast. I apologize. For us, it's Jesus coming near to us. God's saving is the orienting reality. It's the thing that changes how we view everything else throughout all of time. Past, present, and future. So let's look at those three. Let's look at the past, the present, and the future, and let's consider how we can hold them together in light of looking more closely. All of us have a past. Past. All of us have a past. All of us have a history. We have history as individuals, and we have histories as a collective community. Our family systems have histories. And when you get to know someone, you might get to know, you know, when I meet Carrie for the first time, Carrie, it's great to see you. I get to know Carrie a little bit, just Carrie. And the more I get to know Carrie, and then I get to learn more about her family. I get to learn more about where they live, where they go to school, the family that Carrie comes from. Are you with me? We get to know people more and more as we get to know their history. And I think history is great if it's something that can anchor us, if it's something that can root us in the ground that we've come from. I'm afraid that sometimes history can also become a burden. It can become a burden that doesn't anchor us. It keeps us captive in the shadow. History has the capacity to both anchor us in a way that can hold us steady when the storms of life come, but it also has the chance to keep us from moving, to keep us from moving forward, to keep us from moving into the light. Now, right now, some of you are perfectly in the shade. Some of you are in the light. Now, in this case, the light is a little bit warm. I know at home, you're in your air conditioning or with your fan. It's not quite as cool here as it is for you. But the reality, being pulled into the light and experiencing the illuminating light of God in our lives is a good thing. And sometimes we're so stuck on our history that God can't even pull us into the light. We fight and resist and we hide and we get stuck there in the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. Are you with me? History is a good thing. But we have to see our history and understand our history. The most important thing in our history is God's saving love for us that was there for us before we were born. God's saving love on the cross, the saving love of Jesus incarnate, the saving love of God for us, that is the most important thing in our history. I'm not being dismissive. I'm not downplaying the fact that history can be really hard and messy and brutal. Some of you have seen things that I have not yet seen in my life and that I would prefer not to. God, if that's where you are when you think about history, when you start to think about the past and it's just pain and you're filled with fear, know that God is there with you and you just set this part aside. You be there with God and the Holy Spirit and let God care for you because that's some of your history too. Are you with me? Okay, everyone else, I want to say that the way that we tell stories about our history shape the way we understand it in our present. Do you remember the squirrel? Some of us, when we think about our history, the only thing we can see is a squirrel, because that's the story that we've been told. We've been told over and over and over again that this is the way it was. And so every time we look at our history, we see a squirrel. And we need to take a closer look. We need to allow God to give us new ways of seeing our history so that we can experience new life in the present. Whoo, man. Oh, I was trying to preach this last night and I kept getting so excited and I laid in bed and I couldn't fall asleep because I was so convicted. My heart was so stirred up. So I don't have all the answers. I don't think that, I think this is a very simplistic way of talking about it. If you're saying, yeah, but Seth, I agree. This is just one tiny little thing to think about, okay? My suggestion for us as a congregation is that we honestly examine our personal and collective past so that the Holy Spirit can teach us God's story, heal us, and empower us to live differently in how we understand how God has been faithful to us in the past. I do not want us to forget the what of the past, but I do want to see the what in the context of the so what of God's saving and God's loving, God's bringing freedom and rest and inviting us into God's story historically, because that is the only way to live in the present in a new way. That's my suggestion for us as a congregation. And that's the suggestion that I'm going to be trying to hold as I go forward from the sermon. That's the past. Let's talk about the present and the future and hold those together. The thing about the past is we can't go back and change it, right? Right, Jim? Jim's like, yep, that's true. We can't go back. You got it, Seth. We can't go back and change the past. And in the past, it's only things that can happen here and here. Can you do that with me? Just for fun, please. Touch your head and touch your heart. Touch your head and touch your heart. Okay, that's the only kind of work that can come when it comes to the past stuff. Now, there's probably some expert or someone who's here who can say, yes, but the physiological, what happens to our bodies, we can do things. I know. But in general, we can experience new ways of thinking and new ways of feeling when it comes to the past. In the present, we have the chance to act. And I know some of you like to do as much as I do. Some of you like to do is more than I do. Because I like to just sit sometimes. When I go on vacation with my in-laws, with my father-in-law, Mark Peachy, whenever I go on vacation with him, we used to do vacation at Laurelville, and he would say, oh, we're going to be at Laurelville for a week. Let's do service projects every day. And I would say, oh, okay. And it wasn't because I didn't love to do service. I like doing stuff with my hands. I like serving, but I also like to sit by the river and relax. Anyone with me? If you've been on vacation, some of you and your families, when you've gone on vacation or you've had time off, there's one person who loves to go and do adventures and do things the whole time, and there's one person who just likes to sit like me and relax. The reality is that doing is a present kind of thing that we can't do in the past and we can't do in the future. We can live and do right now. And as Dave was preaching last week, I wasn't listening on Sunday. I was listening on like Wednesday, whenever I texted you, Dave, because I was like, oh my goodness, Dave. I wanted to get up and go and do like I haven't in a while. Because some of the stuff that Dave was naming were some tricky spots where things that I have seen as strengths and beautiful, that are beautiful parts of our community, he showed a different side of the coin and said, you know, sometimes those same things that are beautiful and that are good, they have another side that we have to be honest about. And for me, that makes me want to get up and go right now, 100 miles an hour, out the door, to be different. Because as soon as I start to wake up to things that I've done in the past that weren't the way that I wish I had been, I just want to put it right. I just want to put it right. I want to put it right so badly. I felt these waves of feelings. But what I really need to do in that moment, what we really need to do in this moment, right now, in the present, as we look at the past and as we sit with the Holy Spirit, what you need to do is receive God's rest. What you need to do is receive God's grace. What we need to do is receive forgiveness and hope and healing for the things that we have done and the things that we have left undone, so that the Holy Spirit is in the driving seat and not us. Because if we get up and we run at 100 miles an hour in another direction, we're going to leave behind another long history that have lots more of squirrel sightings. Because we saw really quickly with our own eyes what the situation was, and then we ran. You with me? We have to, in the present, right now, what's today's date? The 20th? June 20th, 2021. Right now, we need to take a deep breath as a church. We need to take a deep breath as a church and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe in our lungs and change and fill us so that we can be empowered in the present to rest, to listen, and then to act. I want that order. Rest, listen, and then to act. And when we act, we're going to act bravely. We're going to act boldly. We're going to act in a way that could only be possible by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it's going to be like to act. But we have to rest first, and we have to be received by that good shepherd in that embrace, in that love that only God can give us. Because some of the deep things in our past, only God can meet us in the present and care for us in those ways. Only God can strengthen us in the present so that we can do the good work that God has for us. That's the passage from Isaiah that Deb read. Hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah 40, 28 and 29. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary in the present. He has understanding that no one can fathom, that God wants to shape and change our minds and give us. He will give us strength. He will give strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. So let's be honest. Let's be honest about the present. Let's be honest and say, sometimes the work that we rush to do, it would be better if we just paused. I've done so many house projects. I told in a sermon 3 years ago, I think, here. I tried to find it in my Google Drive, but I couldn't find it this morning. It was 3 years ago, I think, I was building shelves in our library. It wasn't a library at the time. And I worked for like, I don't know, a week on them. And I am not very handy. I know some of you thought maybe I was, but I'm not. I hope you're not too disappointed. And I worked for a week. I struggled. I really did my best. And I couldn't get them to really work. And I couldn't even get very much progress done at all. I think I got some anchors in the wall. And I called up Jackson Moss on the phone. And I said, Jackson, I'm stuck. And he came over. We had the whole project done in like an hour and a half. Right? These are the Moss men. Thankful for you, Marcus. I'm serious. And they're good at everything, but they just don't talk about it. The reality is that it knocked it out in an hour and a half because Jackson understood the problem in a different way and could help me do it. Some of the ways that we try to do things in the present, we need to experience God's changing both our minds and our hearts so that we can act in the present in a different way. Okay. Wow, that's a lot. We have the future and I have the second half of the present to do, and I am close to how much time I wanted to preach. So hang in there with me. Everyone take a deep breath. Breathe out, breathe in. I saw a few of you do it, thank you. Okay. Here's the other thing about the present. I was talking with Sarah this last week, and I think that in the present already, while we do need the experience new understandings for what we should be doing as we go forward, while we do need to experience new head and new heart things about how we understand our past, I think that's true for us as a church. I think that's true for me as an individual. I think the other thing that's true is there's some things in the past and in the present that are so beautiful about the way that we already are loving each other, about the way we are already being welcoming, we are already being generous with our time, we are already in a million little ways showing God's love to the people around us, that we've been doing it for so long that we don't even see it. You with me? Like, I mean, we just had a baby. You all are like over the top kind. Like, I was like, that's amazing. like the cards that you sent, the pictures that you took, the ways that you reached out and you cared for us, and we have been gone for a very long time, and you loved us. And that was just me in this tiny little way, but in this moment where I'm not sleeping very much and I feel everything kind of a little bit more intensely. So the way that you've cared for each other as you've gone through very hard things with health, with history, with congregational reality. Like, you all care for each other in spectacular ways. And that makes some of you feel uncomfortable because you don't like getting compliments, but it's beautiful. And some of you are like, yeah, we do. You're right. You're right, Seth. We have to celebrate those things that we're already doing well. Are you with me? We need to celebrate the things that we're already doing well and be excited about it, because they are witness-bearing marks of a church community that is focused on Jesus. And I think that the more that we pay attention in our present to the things that we're already doing well, the more we realize the rich beauty that is already woven into the tapestry of this congregation. Keep doing those things, please, Zion. God is already empowering us. God has been blowing and breathing in this church for a long time, 130 whatever years, right? And God will continue to do that work. So let's celebrate in the present, right now, the good things that God has already been doing in our midst, the beautiful ways that people have already been faithful. Let's do that for a little while too. Okay, last thing. Okay. I'm gonna take a drink because I'm really excited. I haven't preached in front of people's faces in a very long time, so if I seem a little bit excited, that's what's going on. Okay, so here's the deal. The future, I want us to think about the future now, okay? We talked about the past. I know it's much more three-dimensional, and it's not just a squirrel, no matter how much we see that. We talked about the present. We talked about being informed by the Holy Spirit so that we can actually move more productively. We can finish shelves in an hour and a half as a congregation and as individuals rather than laboring for a week, because God will reveal those things through each other and through the Holy Spirit. The future, last thing, the future of us as a congregation, as individuals, we can know that God loves us and that that we can trust in God's goodness. We can know that God's love is already there in the future. Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, height or depth, anything else in all of the cosmos, anything that we have imagined or not even imagined yet, nothing can separate us from God's love. I would like for us in the present, if we're going to think about God empowering us as the church as we go forward, I would like for us to think about that first. That everything from this exact moment on June 20th, 2021, into any imaginable future for us individually or as a collective body, God's love is there already. God's goodness is already steadying us and sending us. God is already there, present with us across all of time, loving us. And that can free us up to do some incredible things as a congregation. And I'm sure we'll talk about those things more. But I think that whenever we know that God is good, we can trust in God's goodness. And that will be enough to sustain us into whatever future we go. We can be brave. We can take risks. We don't have to be afraid, because God's love is already there with us. Let's pray. God, thank you that you love us and your love is already there with us. Be with us as we receive new sight from you. Thank you for the ways that you have empowered us as a congregation over and over and over again, and you've cared for us. God, I pray in the present that we would move according to the movements of your Holy Spirit, and that there we would know that there's no future where you're not there already loving us. Thank you for being with us. In your name we pray. Amen.